Welcome back to the Mid-Range Podcast. After a long leave of absence, we are back. It is 2026. We got Bryce on the call. Nick will join in a bit. Bryce, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. First weekend of college basketball in the books for 2026. I think not a ton of like top 25 matchups that we saw over the weekend, but definitely some good games. And it's good to be into conference play for everyone, and it's time to start playing, and you know, these games are starting to matter more now, so it's always fun this time of the year.
I'm trying to figure out, let me pull this up, when the last time we did an episode was.
Ooh.
There we go. All right, we haven't recorded in like a month. I mean, that seems silly. Is that right? Why can't I see my videos here? My videos are good.
I feel like it was like
3 weeks
the week before Christmas. Yeah.
Contenders, Pretenders, and then we also did the stock market the week after, so I don't think that one made it to YouTube. But been a few weeks. I mean, it's been a minute. I've definitely there hasn't been much to talk about because it's just like that kind of doldrums of the season, like Christmas, New Year's type. It's not exactly the college basketball wave, but like, I was just thinking, like, today, I was like, man, Ohio State had that game against North Carolina. Like, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
I remember that thing. That was just maybe a day after we did a pod or whatever. But, yeah, it's been a minute. It is good to be back. And, you know, we had a good weekend of ball this weekend, kind of got back into it. Some good matchups. Kind of starting to get a clear picture of who's good, who's not. Like,
yeah,
we're going into conference play. It's like, I mean, like, we've got some concrete teams that we're happy with. Some teams we're not so happy with, such as maybe you're not so happy with yours, and maybe I'm not perfectly content with mine either. But, you know,
yeah.
There's excitement in the air. It's a good time for college ball. It's like the world is our oyster now, and you know, it's a new year. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Bryce, in real life?
Yeah, I have a few that we're going to see if we can actually, you know, do. But it seems like it always happens. And then first month, they go great. And then after that, they disappear. So one, I'm going to try to read more. I am just not a reader, but I'm going to try to read like a book a month or a book a quarter. I haven't exactly set that. It's probably going to go to book a quarter just because I don't read.
See how that first month goes.
Yeah. But I just don't read. And then, you know, the old fashioned hit the gym. I got to start getting more active. It's unbelievable just how inactive I am. But there's only so many hours in a day. So it's just like, and then eating better as well. Gotta start eating better, which kind of goes with
that,
the gym.
You know, I mentioned this, I think, a few, you know, I've had a new job now for like about a month. And so I've been in the office 8 hours a day. It is like, it's tough to get 10,000 steps. Like, it's like, you have to like go get off work and like work out. And then by the time you're home, it's like 7 p.m. It's like, what is happening? Like,
all right, it's time to eat and then go to bed again. Do it all over.
It is totally like it was a reality check. Read more, eat. You're doing like an eat healthy workout. Yeah, I'm right there with you on the eat healthy workout. I do this thing every year where I get like as fat as I possibly can by December. And then, like, I'll lose, like, 30, 40 pounds. And then I'll gain 30, 40 pounds. Like, every year just cycling through, like, January. And I'm doing dry January, too. So I'm no drinking all month. No smoking either.
Ooh.
Yeah, it'll be tough. Sobriety. It'll be a reality realization. But I did buy I did the most important first step, which is I bought creatine today.
I'm a big believer in creatine back when I actually took working out serious, and creatine is the way to go. I'm telling you, I don't know what is in it, or obviously it's, you know, creatine, but like it's spectacular. So I'm kind of the opposite of you. So I'm trying to gain weight. I'm trying to hit this bulk right now, but like I said, after working 8 hours, you know, 8.5 hours a day, and then you come home and you're like, I really want to go to the gym. So I'm going to try to reverse it, and I'm going to try to work out before work, get the day going, and then come home where I actually have time to do stuff. Because for one, when I come home, I want to watch college basketball, especially right now. Like, that's what's on the agenda after work majority of the time. Yeah. And I don't want to get in traffic. Knoxville traffic is just horrible at 5 p.m. Yeah. So it's just – I don't know. Excuses is what it is. So it's just time. You just got to do it.
No, I'm in the same boat. Just remember, I'm going to the Buckeyes game tomorrow.
What is tomorrow? Monday?
Nebraska.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun. But it's like what you're talking about. It's like, now I'm like, all right, when do I go to the gym? Like, I'm not going to have any time.
So it's like, whatever. Tuesday, we play at home at 9 p.m. Dear God, don't ask me. 9 p.m. Obviously, I'm going to go to the game.
Pacific time, like broadcast or something?
I don't know. The SEC always has these like late window games, and we've gotten lucky over the past year where the home games haven't been late, which I'm fine with away games being late because it's, you know, just turn on the TV, but the home games because you got to go to campus, and then the basketball traffic is worse than football traffic because it's in one like centralized like location where everyone parks. So it's like, I would rather be in football traffic than basketball traffic. It's unbelievable how bad it is.
Is the Tennessee football stadium and basketball stadium, like are they on campus?
Yep. So all three major sports when it comes to like baseball, basketball, football are all on campus. The baseball and basketball are kind of closer to each other, and then football is kind of its own little thing on the opposite side of a parking garage that we call G10. But it's just our campus, for one, parking is just – it's horrendous, horrendous. Oh, look who it is.
What up?
Good to have you join us. Welcome to the podcast.
Sorry, guys.
It's all
What's
right.
going on? What are you guys talking about?
UT parking?
true.
Of course.
What do you got on the docket?
Just be the best version of myself.
Oh, I love that.
You know.
I might write that on my whiteboard at work.
Just work as hard as I can, let the chips lie, you know. Hey, true to myself, be the best version. What about you guys? What did I miss?
What an intro.
I thought mine were good, but I might just take yours and run with it.
What did you guys say?
That's the all-time New Year's resolution because it does, like, it means nothing.
It's everything, though.
I'm just going to be the best version of myself every day. And that's all. That's my resolution.
That's fantastic.
We're both hitting the gym. The cliche.
Oh, of course. Stuff. I'm right there with you guys. Oh, I started running. I ran 3 miles yesterday.
God, nice. Die.
What pace?
7:12. Something like
Seriously?
That.
Seriously?
That's pretty. That's good.
Yeah. I'm a speed.
You just ripped off a 21-minute 3-miler yesterday?
Yeah.
I might get a mile in 21 minutes.
Follow me on Strava. You can keep up with my
Are you going to become one of those TikTokers that post the day in the life?
I was thinking about posting it on my Insta story, but...
You're 5 to 9 before you're 9 to 5?
I'll send it. Yeah. Wake up.
Like Nikki in his like bed, in his bathroom mirror, like, doing like this.
Yeah.
I do the ice dunk with my face. Meditation. Instantly go to the sun.
Those guys are like, that might be my number one least favorite content on the internet is those guys specifically.
Like, 1,000%.
It is the worst. Like,
I think those are the best guys. It's the motivation you need.
They post like twice a week, and we're like, oh, yeah, you actually do this twice a week so you can film it, and then the rest of the days you wake up when normal people wake up.
Glass water, ice, dunk face, sprint outside.
They do the clothes sunlight. On the bed, and then they like jump on the bed.
Yeah, those are great.
You go to like Target, and you're like,
bathroom door,
film yourself.
Oh, my God.
This picture of Nikki is like as like a bro, like gym influencer, like that is.
I'll make one tomorrow. I'm not doing anything tomorrow,
please,
so
please make one.
Of course, Sunday fun day.
Sunday fun day.
How about that Arkansas game?
Oh, yeah, let's just we're just coming in, just going straight at the head, huh? Okay.
All that right. Might have been the biggest game of the day yesterday.
I didn't think we wait. There was games yesterday.
Of course.
Really?
There's games this weekend.
I thought it was still football season.
No, all of us had a conference game this weekend.
True. Oh, yeah. Everyone got a big win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. The women's team won Friday or Thursday, I believe. They won today, too. Yeah. Two big wins in a week.
Well, not basketball. Every women's team got a win this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to talk women's. We don't have to talk women's.
This is the first time in the history of the mid-range Nikki doesn't want to talk about women's basketball.
We can that's talk true. Small step
it was
back.
A uncharacteristically good shooting night by Utah. Everyone knows. That's
of course. Of course. 13-23.
No, but on that note, let's talk college ball. Let's just get the hell into it. Get the funny stuff out of the way. We're doing college basketball New Year's resolutions. I texted you guys a prompt beforehand. I come prepared or do it on the fly either way. We're thinking like, it's New Year's resolutions, but it's for either a team, for the media, for whoever. And I've started, it's going to be a little bit of a negative one, that, and this is kind of what made me think of the prompt, because we were talking about this today, but my New Year's resolution for the national media is to stop pretending like Nate Ament is a top 10 draft pick.
That's fair.
What does he do good?
What does he do good? We've watched the guy play now this whole season. Let me pull the stats up. I should have had him ready to go. But, like, we've seen what we've seen, and this is just – it's crazy that, like – and, like, they continue to put him in these mocks up there. He's averaging 15 a game, 6 rebounds, shooting under 40% from the field, under 30% from three. I mean, it's 52% true shooting for a 6'10 wing that's supposed to be the shooter, like the Kevin Durant, the Brandon Ingram archetype guy. He's just not that guy. So I want it on the record that I do not think he will be a good NBA player as it stands right now, and I actually think he would do better to just stay in college for a year. But if he's going to get picked in the top five, I guess he won't. But, yeah, stay in college. He can go to St. John's or whatever. But, dude, he still might get picked in the top five. These guys just have it all the time.
I feel like now is the time where it's actually dropped.
What I will say with Nate, I don't think he's a top five pick anymore. Like, obviously going into the year, it was like, here's your top five guys. Nate was in that. I don't even know if he's a top 10. But from what I've seen in the NBA drafts, now granted, this one's a little different because the just sheer amount of talent within this year's draft, but a 6'10 guy that can handle it, supposed to be this shooter and this guy, I think his best basketball is probably 2 to 3 to 4 years down the road. And I feel like GMs in the NBA like eat that shit up. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but I just think with the intangibles that he has, that's what's still pulling these people into thinking he's this like top 10, top 15 pick. Right now, from a standpoint of his stats, his play, everything, that he's done to this point, he's not. he's not. He's just not. But just from an intangible standpoint, that I think that's what just like glows the eyes of these GMs and these scouts is just he's a 6'10" guard that we can fix. That maybe I'm wrong, but that's just the way I look at it.
I kind of want to get another takeoff on this, and maybe this will be a more eye popping thing to say as opposed to Nate Ament, who's obviously his stock is falling, like Nikki said. I kind of think Caleb Wilson is like not gonna be a great NBA player. Like I think we're gonna like my guess, like if I want to make that a New Year's resolution, it'd be like stop pretending like this guy's graded out to be some great NBA player just because he's athletic, because he can't shoot and he's not that efficient of a basketball player and he's not that great off the ball. He's kind of just more of like a inside like finisher type, and like at his size that's never gonna work in the NBA. So like,
you know, he's alpha. So
yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's that. Maybe that's more of a hot take. Caleb Wilson is not the NBA athlete that you think he is. That archetype is like, yeah, maybe it is an alpha community. Maybe he plays 10 years as a role player. I wouldn't take him in the top five, which is where everyone's mocking him, where he's expected to be. And if you look on ESPN right now, he's number 4 in the mock, and they have him as a power forward slash center. If Caleb Wilson plays in the NBA as a center, I mean, I'll give Nikki $10,000 if he's a successful center in the NBA.
I'll do that one-way trade. No, I think Caleb Wilson's pretty good, actually. No, that's just my, I don't know, I feel like when I watch him he looks pretty good. I'm like, that guy could be pretty good in the NBA. He's insanely skilled. He's probably the best UNC freshman since Hansborough, and he's, I don't know. But then you could also make the take that he's not even the best player on UNC this year, and it's V-Star, so I could see it going both ways.
Yeah, who I actually think will make a great NBA. That's not. That's the most side. Great touch, good shooter, good interior defense. Yeah. So there's my. I guess it's just like stop. Can we stop falling in love with lanky athletes that can't shoot? That's the take. Like, this is the tried and true failed method in the NBA. Seen it happen a million times. You draft these guys high, they don't work out. Stop. Just don't draft these guys. Draft a center. Draft a point guard. Like, these aren't actually the people that win you championships like we pretend like they are. Especially not when you're drafting them in the top 5, top 10. There's my first New Year's resolution. Bryce, I'd love to hear yours if you got one.
So I'm going to start with a team one. More as like a university or basketball operations types of thing. And it's going to be with Kentucky. And it's to find a new talent evaluator when it comes to like spending your money on these players based off the talent that they are. So obviously with Kentucky this year, they have just been horrendous. Yesterday, every big game they played, I feel like outside of St. John's, they've been down by like 20 plus at some point. They have no fight. They have just no shooters. They need, for their New Year's resolutions, for one, it could just be to find a new coach or an AD, but it needs to be to find someone to like scout this talent out before they go and pay $22 million on a roster that is just not built for what they need and in the style of basketball that they play.
Yeah, well, they don't have a GM, I don't think, which is insane for putting $22 million into a team when it's like the majority of Power Four teams do have that. That should probably be a thing for, again, Kentucky when you're going into that. And it seems like now like they're starting to invest a little bit more into football with Levitt and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see how much they get next year. I guess they have a ton of money regardless. It seems so, right? It seems like all paths lead towards there.
Yeah, it's trending.
But, yeah, no, it'll be interesting because obviously they've probably been – I mean, them and St. John's, I guess, are probably the biggest disappointments this season so far. So the the latter half of their year, because it's a down SEC compared to what we thought it was going to be, where they like could turn it around. Like, it's not, you know, this gauntlet that you thought it would be. Like, they play home versus Mizzou and home versus Mississippi State in their next two games that they should easily win, and we could, you know, turn around at the end of the year and be like, Kentucky's a scary team. But yeah, as of right now, it's not good.
I sent this to the group chat, and obviously when we talked to, well, I was just thinking yesterday, like, we talked to Rocco Miller before the season. He said Quaintance was going to play immediately, was his what he said. Like, they're like, oh, he's ready to play. Everyone's saying he's ready to play, and he's still not out there. And it's like, you want to talk about, like, draft guys, top pick level players. It's like, this guy, if you go look at any mock draft, he's in the top 10. It's like, I want to see this guy play for Kentucky. They obviously paid a pretty penny for him. I hope he goes out there and makes a difference. But, like, it is just, like, crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's like you said, and we've talked about before with the GM stuff. It's like, you spent, I mean, imagine how much money they're spending on him to not play. Like, what was the thought process there? And then to not have, like, an elite rotation at any position, even with him out. It's so, like, it is so disjointed. Like, I don't know. They suck. And they're like, and they continue to suck. And, like, yeah, St. John's has been more disappointing, and it's probably, there's another team I'll talk about later, I think, that's been disappointing. Not quite with the same preseason expectations that Kentucky had, but it's really something. And, like, I don't think they're going to turn it around. Like, I think Florida is probably better than them, or like has at least a better path forward than them, and has looked, shown more fight than they have. You know, they've only lost to the best teams too, so
worse.
It is like weird for Kentucky. Like, I mean, do you think, is New Year's resolution to fire their head coach and get a new head coach? Is that a part of this? I think it's there.
I the trend that the season is going on, it's, I mean, it's not good. Like, granted, the SEC's down this year when it comes to, like, all, you know, last year was just insane. So this year there's definitely spots where, like you said, the next two games, I think it was Mizzou and Mississippi State, is like, last year if those two teams were coming in to Rupp, it's like, they should win, but they could lose. Well, this year it's like, well, Mizzou just beat Florida, but you should win on your home floor this year, majority of those types of games. But he's, I think, negative now against Power Four teams as a Kentucky head coach, and it's like, that doesn't fly at Kentucky. And then the guy that they ran out of town to go to Arkansas is now doing well. So it's like,
yeah,
maybe don't hire players that played at Kentucky just because they played there, like, or did nobody want to coach there? Like, what? I don't know what went on during the hiring process, but I think that they're going to be looking for a new head coach come next year, in my opinion. I just don't think they'll turn it around. And I think with how those fans are with basketball, it's going to be tough. But maybe the football hire will kind of take their minds off of things if they start landing some of these transfer portal guys. But it's,
I mean,
tough to survive in Kentucky.
Think of any, like, iconic head coaches with Kentucky connections that might have been open to going over at the time they hired Mark Pope, that might have happened to win the Big East last year. Like, it is crazy in hindsight that, like, that was the hire. Like, Nicky's been on this since we forever, but it's like, he wasn't good at BYU.
He was like sixth in the WCC his last
year.
A decent year in the Big 12.
It went from, like, Dan Hurley's coming to Kentucky to hiring Mark Pope, who they knew of because he was a basketball player there, not because he was the head coach at BYU. Like,
yeah. That's why I think, like, they're not going to fire him this year, just because, like, they already made that decision. And it's a Homer thing that's going on, is that obviously he has a great relationship with Kentucky AD and that whole community, and like, rat around him a ton last year when he got off to that great start, where, like, he's going to get another year, and he still has so much left of the season to write that, you know, it could escalate to a point where, like, maybe you have to pull the trigger. I would say it's extremely unlikely still. But yeah, we'll see. Again, like it's not like that much of a, or it shouldn't be that much of a shock. I guess when you put in $22 million in a roster, it is. But in terms of him as a coach, like I've said before, and like we've all said before, it's like he didn't have this crazy resume. You were kind of just betting on Homer and betting him to have this offense to with Kentucky's talent be this great mesh, and it was for the first half of the season last year, and it hasn't since. So yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a great thing for years to come. Like I think next year will be like the hot seat year, but we'll see.
That's fair. Nick, you got a New Year's resolution?
I mean, in terms of media wise, like let's push the Big 12 being elite. That's what I think. Like you're looking at every single one of these teams, like outside of Utah, that's pretty damn good that you could talk about in tourney contention. Arizona and Iowa State are two of the only whatever undefeateds left. They're putting together a special year, and I think any team in that conference should be put on a higher pedestal just from being in there and going through this gauntlet. So yeah, that's just kind of the big story of the season, at least for me, and how much better the Big 12 is as opposed to any other conference. I just think we just push that more.
You think so? You think they're the best conference for sure?
I do.
They don't have the best team.
I do. I mean, who's number one?
Yeah, but who's the best team in the conference?
You know what I mean?
That's a point.
Arizona has a number one next to Timbo. I don't know, like, factually. It's
not I mean,
if you're going
not on Ken, not on KenPom.
Yeah, like what do we use to rank these teams and put them, like when we're watching the games?
If the tournament started today, who would be the number one overall seed?
I would put Arizona in there if I was on the committee. what it would be, because I'm not. I would personally. I'd put Arizona 1, Iowa State 2, probably Michigan 3. I think any team that plays. I mean, Michigan's an elite team. Like, you know, what's. How many games in a row have they won by like 30 or something, basically?
4 or 5 at this point.
They're 10 in a row of like blowouts. And you look at the 11th one, and it was a middle of the pack Big 12 team that should have beaten. So, like if you're comparing conferences, like, that's all you.
I mean, it's a great should. Point. It's a guy yeah, can argue with that.
Yeah. Like the one Big 12 team they played, like again, not their bet, like middle pack. Actually tied for first in the conference right now, I guess, but gave them a great one.
That's fair. I think if we're going to talk about conferences that have been deserve maybe more respect than we were going to give them before the season, we probably should talk about the ACC.
Yeah.
Like, the ACC is looking pretty solid. I mean, you got, obviously, Duke is up there, although Duke, well, we can talk about Duke, but I don't know. But you got Duke, Louisville, who are the preemptive, like, top teams, but then you go down, like, Virginia's been awesome. North Carolina's obviously been awesome. SMU, who'd SMU beat yesterday?
UNC. Boopy Miller.
The UNC like... yesterday, yeah, there you go. I mean, even like Duke going down to Florida State and almost going away with a loss is like, that's a sign. Like, that conference has like competitive teams a lot more so than we thought. I think when it comes to the Big 12, it's like, I don't know if there was a lot of questions about the Big 12 coming into the season, but I like the...
I feel like the Big 12 is always like this, though. Like, they're always a good conference. I didn't expect anything less than what the Big 12 is producing right now. Like, every year they have... This is how it is. They beat the shit out of each other all year, and that's why the Big 12 is good. Like, that's just... They're just – it's a good conference and always has been. So, I think the media pushes the Big 12 as a good conference already. Aww. So, I'm just going to put that out there. But it's deserved. It's deserved.
Of course. Nicky, who's coming out of the Big 12? Who's Big 12 champ? Regular season champ?
Anyone's game right now. Arizona, Iowa State, BYU, Houston, probably any of those teams. Kansas.
Horned Frogs.
Nah, I don't know.
Tied for first.
I don't want to be too homer around here, but I appreciate the love. But we'll see. We'll see. It should be fun to see throughout the end of the year. But another thing, since you mentioned like Quaitons, I think arguably the biggest story in college basketball is what's happened with Darren Peterson. Like a lot of people were talking about, but it's just so weird because it's another one of those things where you get paid a ton of money in NIL, and it's to the point where like it's not like a Kyrie Irving situation where you have an injury and then you sit out to go to the draft because like it wasn't legal to make money back then, so it makes a lot of sense. But now you're getting paid a ton, so you should do all you can to get back out there. And it's just such a fishy situation where, you know, he plays the whole half, a ton of minutes in the first half, and plays like 3 minutes in the second half in the loss at UCF. And he's insane and looks really good when he's out there. And then he like pulls something and self's talking post game about a minutes restriction. But if you have a minutes restriction, why would you go full gas in the first half and only play three in the second? And he's been in and out all year. And it's just, I don't know. It's just a weird situation. I'm sure a lot of people are in DP's ear about like he's going to be a top two pick in the draft most likely. And it'll just be interesting to see how much he'll play the rest of the year, because it seems like it's a kind of a game-to-game basis thing. And again, like you thought this NIL stuff would help that situation, getting the best talent, and it has for the most part. Like DeBanson, this freshman class has been amazing. But in terms of Darren Peterson, it's an interesting case.
I don't understand, like, with these kids, like, in this type of situation, if you're Darren Peterson and, like, you know you're going to be a top pick. I like, even if you, so you get the bag from Kansas and then let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And I do think in fairness to him, like he got hurt. Like he's had injuries throughout the year. Like there's been some stuff going on, but it's like, okay, now it's halfway through the season. It's like, if you're going to wishy-wash about playing and like you void the contract, the NIL contract. It's like, you just be like, all right, like, I'm going to go be the top pick in the draft, which means I'm making $15 million next year. Like, I have enough endorsements to pay me for the rest of the time. It's like, there should be an expectation. Like, I agree with you, Nick. It's definitely, like, a weird thing. And it's like you said, it's like you hoped that, like, the NIL would mean these guys would play more. But it's like, it's a bummer. And you know, not to be, like, weird about it, but it does call into question a guy's like mental, like in some extent, like it does call into question like his motivations. Like, what does he like want to play for Kansas? Does he want Kansas to win? Is he motivated by that? And it's fine if he's not, but it just doesn't seem like he is. And like, it was weird in that it was that North Carolina State game that went down to the wire where what's his name kept banging threes, and like it was like he, you know, it was the same kind of thing where it was like he came in, he kind of like seemed like he maybe tweaked something, and then he walked off the floor and he's like sitting on the bench, but he's walking and he's moving fine, and like it was just like, what's happening here? And it seems like he's just being extremely, extremely cautious, which like you said before, NIL makes sense because you don't want to risk the fact that you're not going to get picked that high. But it's like, it's not that anymore. You're getting paid. Well, I mean, what's he making? Is he making like I'm not like, it's a lot, right?
Sure,
like,
it's Darren Peters. Yeah, like he was.
Yeah, like 5 million, 4 million, 5 million.
Probably
like,
more, I guess.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like one of the highest contracts in college basketball. And it's like, yeah, it's definitely not great. So I agree with you, Nick. Like, it's a little strange. I mean, and it is, but you can't like make any sweeping judgments really when you have, like you said, like you have Peterson and Boozer dominating college basketball. So it's a weird.
Yeah,
thing. And it's gonna be hilarious when he goes number one.
Yeah, which he probably should because he's insane. Yeah. I mean, Vance is insane. They're like 1A, 1B, but like every time he plays, he's everything that he was hope to be, and that's why it's fascinating because he means so much. Like they've treaded water. Like their supporting cast has been better than what we thought preseason. Like, Melvin Council's been amazing. Trey White's been very good, and Badunga's taken that next step that we wanted to see. And then, like, DP's been amazing. So, like, this whole Kansas team, if he's healthy, could be, you know, Final Four type level team with Self at the helm and maybe the best player in college basketball. So that's why it's so fascinating, because of the yin and yang of what this team could do, because I don't think you can make a deep tournament run without him, but you certainly can. So it's there's one of the most fascinating teams to watch. I think just how this thing's going to unfold, because you really don't know at all what it's going to be like right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You go into the tournament, if Peterson's playing and you're a 7 seed or you're an 8 seed or you're a 6, like, you're in that range, and, like, you know, yeah, you could go to, like, you could make a run. Like, yeah, like, he's the he's unreal.
It's crazy.
But it's like, yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. I'm going to move on. I'll do my next New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution is, it's for us, Nikki, specifically you and me, because we had a debate before the season about the ACC versus the Big East. And my New Year's resolution is to respect the ACC, and we're done respecting the Big East. Because the Big East is terrible. Like, the level of the Big East is unbelievably bad now. Like, it has fallen so far. I was looking today, but, like, do you know what Marquette's record is?
Oh, it's horrible. That they had that one dude just leave the team.
They're 5-10. They're 5-10.
Yeah, they had what dude left the team? Zay Lowry left the team for, like, some random reason, which is, especially for a team that everybody was back. Like, Marquette's so fascinating to me, and Shaka and all that kind of stuff, because I do genuinely respect the route he went. Like, it's in an ideal world, that's the type of kind of, like, you almost root for it, because it's going against the grain, and it's, like, what college basketball is built on and developing guys and stuff like that. But what's so interesting with Marquette and Shaka is, it's like, their best players, most of them are, like, you look at, like, Tyler Kolick. He was a transfer from...
Yeah, he was a transfer. It's so weird.
And then it's like, look at Oto Iguodaro. You bring him along as a transfer. And these are NBA guys that he went on deep runs with. So it's not like he's done this for years. Like, it's almost out of nowhere. And it's just failed greatly. Where, again, like, the thing that's fascinating too with the Big East is that you thought with this rev share stuff that the Big East would be, like, get the benefit of the most of all that... Yeah. That rush, because they just put everything into basketball. But as we figured out, like, the rush share really doesn't matter, because verifying NIL deals has become, like, just a joke. So it's almost made it worse, because the cap is still not there at all. But yeah, it's a complete disaster. Where what you root for in college basketball, retaining and stuff, is just not the way to go anymore, and Shaka found that out.
Well, it is hilarious, like, that if we actually believe that, like, that was going to be how it ended up being, you know what I mean? Like, it's like this idea that, like, we were like, wait a second, like, Ohio State's going to have to send $10 million to football. They're only going to get $5 million for basketball, whereas UConn or Creighton's going to have $15 million. It's like, no. Ohio State's going to spend $30 million on football, and then they're going to spend another $15 million on basketball, because they do whatever the fuck they want. Yeah. It's not like – it's so funny to think, like, in hindsight. It's like the most corrupt sports in the world. Like, we decided, like, oh, no, it's going to be – now it's going to start, like, making sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
We put – UConn at one, and we put St. John's, like, clear at two, and the rest of the like, St. John's isn't even the second best team in the conference anymore. And it's not even like because some team has risen up. Like, Villanova's all right. Like, Seton Hall's all right. Creighton's Providence just got a win at St. John, so I guess you can't even really say that St. John is better than them. It's like
crazy.
It's St. John's doesn't have a point. Like Creighton missed on the Iowa guys. Like Owen Freeman's playing like 5 minutes a game off the bench. Like everything's gone bad to where like Nova's probably the second best team because they found some shooters and obviously new coach Spike and he's doing pretty well there and UConn's a horse. But yeah, it's like WCC level of like Gonzaga, and I don't even say it, like Nova's probably like St. Mary's. Then it's like,
yeah,
who else can make the tournament? It's fallen to that level, which is not good.
If it ends up going this way and like St. John's doesn't end up making the tournament, the funniest result of the season is going to be them losing to Iowa State by one in the players' era. Like, you're gonna look back on that game and be like, well, we at that time we thought that was like a good game. It's like St. John's sucks. Like St. John's is terrible.
And with the conference, what opportunities are they gonna get to build their resume? It's like you have to be UConn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Get a resume right. UConn,
just win. You have to win every game.
Like, win every game. Yeah. You have to kill everybody. Yeah, and losing at home to Providence game one is not exactly a good start.
Kim English, baby.
Yeah, I mean even Ed Cooley. I mean, we haven't recorded since Ed Cooley threw a water bottle at a baby.
Yeah, that was a rifle.
was anybody up watching the Notre Dame Cal game when the coach tried to fight the ref?
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. Shrewsbury. That was awesome.
Because I don't like him at all.
It's like one in the morning. I'm just like low key paying attention to it, and then the whole ordeal went down, and then just. Boom, he's just like trying to fight the ref. I'm like, all right, I'm up now.
And it's like a coaching collapse. It's his fault. Like, you just don't foul.
Don't foul a guy that's about to shoot. It was honestly, like, from my perspective, it wasn't even that bad of a call. Like, I was like, it kind of makes sense. It was a continuation foul.
Like, he's just like an angry, you know, he's just an angry guy. He's one of those guys where it's like.
I really don't. I don't like him at all.
We didn't. We lost to them in overtime, and I was in the post game after that. And he was so excited. He's just like emotional, and I was like, "Oh my god!" So ever since then, I haven't been on him. I even remember preseason, like when he came out from Penn State, everybody was like, "This guy is like the second coming of Christ." Like in terms of basketball,
because he brought Penn State to like one tournament or something.
Yeah, he had like Pickett for 1 year, and then they were like. Oh, this guy's, you know, the next Calipari. It's like you can't come close to the greatest coach of all time. But yeah, you brought his son, and I know Marcus Burton's hurt and everything, but like it's not about
even his coaching ability. It's like he's a dickhead.
Yeah, it's angry. Like he's him and Cooley are similar.
Because
they both get so hyped up, and you're like, what have they done to really deserve all this hype?
Yeah, no, it's fair. All right, Bryce. I know you got to go soon, so I want you to hit me with one more resolution before you hop on.
So mine's gonna be for the media once again, and it's to please, for the love of God, quit hyping up teams that win in the exhibition games before the year starts. Can we completely like stop doing that now? Like I feel like that we've talked about it a lot on the podcast. Can we please stop doing it now? Like, we hyped this Kentucky team up Kentucky after they beat Purdue. Like, they beat Purdue, and then look at them now. Like, can we just, for the love of God, stop doing it?
If you're in the media, don't even, release. I hate when these media guys release these secret scrimmage scores and, like, drop all these stats to, like, paint a narrative. It just pisses me off.
Let's just stop doing it.
Gillespie, Colin Gillespie and Mark Williams talking about the Villanova Duke secret scrimmage from like, it would have been like 2021, like the Paolo year. Mm-hmm. I was dying because it was literally like Nicky. Like he was like, yeah, somehow the stats got out. Like someone sent out the stats. It's like, yeah. Someone sent him to the fucking Nicky Jaramonte of Duke. And he's posted all the videos and posted all the stats. And, like, it is hilarious. And then he's like, they were talking about it. It's like, yeah, we were just running, like, a fake zone, and like we were just giving it to Paolo at the to, and like it was like not real basketball or whatever. I completely agree, Bryce. I think that's a good one. But you know what? I'm not gonna stop. I might start hyping up.
You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem.
It is fun because like you're
Ohio
craving
State kept it close against Tennessee.
Yeah.
TCU's exceeded expectations. They beat Texas.
Yeah.
That Texas team's good, I'm telling you.
I know.
I'm telling you. Good team. Good team. Didn't just lose to Mississippi State at home or anything, but good team.
TCU might actually be 20 point. I mean, they played, they were. So, it's pick and choose. It's give and take.
It's more of the, like, the one that really pisses me off is the Kentucky one, obviously. It's like they beat this Purdue team at home, and Purdue obviously, I mean, a lot of people watch the game, but it's like after that, Kentucky fans, for one, basically just claimed a national championship. Like, they're the winners. Why are we even playing the season? We just beat the number one team that has Braden Smith and, you know, all these, you know, and then you're 9-5 or whatever they are, or, you know, 9-6, and you're just like, you suck. You're terrible. Like, let's stop hyping these exhibition meaningless basketball games up and wait till real basketball is being played.
Meaningless.
You know, Bryce, I agree with you, and I agree with you on both of your New Year's resolutions, and I like them both, but I feel like you kind of just used this opportunity to go double shit on Kentucky.
Absolutely, dude. It's awesome. This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
You know, I'm fine with the others now, but this Kentucky Purdue one.
Yeah, my New Year's resolution is to hate Kentucky just a little bit more, like mm-hmm. every day. But you know the best part of Kentucky, Nikki.
Yeah. Well, now Levitt's taking a visit to LSU, so maybe they will stay bad.
Yeah, Sorsby. Yeah. Sorsby to Tech. Confirmed. Not confirmed, but crystal balled. I'll give you one more before I go, if you want a real quick one.
Yeah, hit it.
And I don't even know if this is – I don't know how I'm going to word this for it to be a resolution, but we talked – I think it was me and you, Jacob. We talked about Duke last year where they didn't play teams and they were beating everybody by 30. Michigan's probably hoping that they're going to play someone close soon because when March comes around and they're playing these teams close, I know they played TCU close. They had to battle that game out. I get that.
Probably should have lost.
They're beating these teams by 30 plus, and they haven't played a close game in over a month. And, you know, the last team that did that at Duke, or, you know, with Duke last year, didn't win at all when they had the best team in the country. So I think for Michigan, they're looking for that close game somewhere, somehow. I don't know if it'll ever happen because they are the best team in the country.
Do you think they can go 40-0 undefeated?
You're saying like can they go undefeated through the national championship, win every single game? Yeah.
Well, they got a neutral site with Duke and Purdue away. I mean,
they can.
Yeah,
they
100%
can. Because of course they can. I mean, it's possible.
They can. But best chance is that Kentucky team. Probably, right?
I mean, they're the best college basketball team since last year's Duke. So,
well, it's just crazy to me that
they
almost got beat by Wake Forest in OT. They almost got beat by TCU, and they go 2 weeks later or a week later and beat Auburn by 150, beat Gonzaga by 150, and have just continued to do that ever since. So it's like
150.
Okay, well, you know what I mean. So, but it's weird. It's just weird, but like, you know, we've seen them almost get beat by these, you know, Wake Forest and TCU, but then they haven't played a close game since TCU.
Like, that is one of my favorite things with these dominant teams, though, is that like the one thing you can say is that, hey, I don't know how they're going to execute down the stretch. And then it's like, it's a fair point, yes, because it's like, well, yeah, we saw with Duke last year. But it's just funny because, like, what are they supposed to do? Like, they could blow out everybody.
Yeah. I mean, nothing they can do about it.
It's like always the one point, like, people turn to. And it's hilarious because it's a good point. But
I'm sure Dusty May would love to continue doing what he's doing.
It's the best thing because it does. Like, it holds up, though.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's so often these teams that dominate all year, like, get in one close game and lose. And it's like, it's literally like, it's hilarious. You know, like, that's the NBA, too, where it's like,
it's like TCU the Thunder. And
like TCU women's basketball last
night. Genuinely, like, they had blown out everybody, and like, you could tell.
Well, Ohio State football, Ohio State football, yeah. Like, blow everybody.
Tennessee,
everyone's being
nothing.
Like, they won't play tight.
Yeah,
Tennessee baseball.
There
they
we go.
Win national championships. So
yeah, that's true. Then we lose our coach, but
it is good. No, but I agree. I mean, I would say to Dusty May right now, it's like, let's practice free throws a lot. Like, let's make sure we got free throws dialed in. We're hitting, every player is hitting 90% from the line on 100 shots. Like,
man, that would be fantastic. That would be great.
What happened to Duke last year was an all-time meltdown because of shitty free throw shooting and a phantom over the back hole, obviously. But
I mean, guard depth. Like, if Cadeau goes down, like, who's gonna?
You know what's crazy about Michigan? I was thinking about this when I was watching them against USC. Is like, Cadeau is like not even good. Like, he's not even a good player, and they're somehow still insane. Like, they don't even have good guard play. Like,
they are, exactly.
But it's like this idea that like, you need guard, and then it's like, but then like,
but he's good enough.
Cadeau, yeah, he's fine.
It's not like, yeah.
Right.
Imagine if they had elite guard play. I mean, yeah. Truthfully, just imagine.
They just come down to Columbus and buy Bruce Thornton. Like, this is like my whole thing of like, I can't, like, the thought of, it's just crazy. But it goes back to my point from before the season, which is like, point guard is overrated. If you have,
I disagree with that. I think it's probably the number one thing. Yeah.
I know, but they don't have a great point guard. And they're the best
team in
the country.
Yeah, Cadeau's good enough. Like, Cadeau, you look at Cadeau's stats, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, but like, when he's watch, I mean, he's...
No, I agree. But at least he's a good, talented guard.
I think for point guard...
You tell me Roddy Gale is a starting shooting guard on the best team of all time? Like, I watched him at Ohio State. He's fine. Like, he's not the caliber. Like, sorry to interrupt, but like, I don't know. It was a little. I was just like watching them the other day. Just like, I can't even comprehend how they're up by 30 right now. I mean, it's a defense is what it is. But it's just crazy.
I think with the point guard thing is like, if you just have a really good point guard and nothing else around that point guard, it's an overrated. Like, I would rather have a good small forward or a good shooting guard. Like, right now, it's Tennessee is living that right now. We have a good point guard in Jacoby, but he's having to do everything because he has no help at the guard position anywhere else. He's getting no other production.
Well, yeah, but you, like, freshman need guards to win natties.
Yeah, well. I don't know about elite. Mid.
No, it's... I mean, I don't know. The actual, like, the point of it is just to say that, like, Michigan... I mean, like, everyone was talking about this, and, like, I will say I felt like, cool because I, like, texted you guys it on my own without having seen it anywhere. But, like, they were 22.5-point favorites against a ranked conference opponent, and they covered the spread by 10 points. Like, they are complete dumb. It's like, and like, you remember like last year with Duke was beating everybody by 30 or 40 or whatever, but everyone was kind of like, yeah, but like the ACC sucks. So it's like, you know, it's super impressive. They're dominating, but like, they're not playing great teams. It's like, Michigan has done this to great teams. Like, they did it to Gonzaga, who hasn't lost a game aside from them, and a bunch of Power 5 wins. And they did it to Villanova, who's actually really pretty good. And then like, I mean, Gonzaga, Rutgers, Villanova, Maryland, I guess is nothing spectacular, but like those are Power 5 good teams that are better than the teams that Duke would have been playing in the ACC last year that were not even tournament teams. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think they genuinely do have a chance to be undefeated 40-0. But at Purdue, I don't know. I'll take Purdue in that game.
Yeah.
I think Purdue's awesome. Fair,
Purdue's only loss was at home to a team that's like kind of similar to Michigan.
That's why they're going to get it right this time.
Of course.
All right, Nick, you got another resolution for us? Bryce, are you good? Are you getting out of here? What's your status?
Yeah, I'm going to hop off.
Good talking ball.
Man, that fucking guy. Am I right? No. No, he's a good.
Can we talk some Buckeyes? Some Buckeyes frogs?
Is it MLK Day or are we talking Buckeyes frogs?
No, like bubble watch.
Yeah, let's talk it. Dude, you know we're one away from each other in the net?
I know. Ken Palm, we're close. Evan Maya, we're close. Torvik, we're close.
Christ.
That Notre Dame.
The thing is, if I were you, I would be a little bit stressed because if it comes down to it, I think Ohio State gets them over TCU.
If the season ended today.
No, I'm saying
the season ended today.
They're not from a branding perspective. Like from a if you want to get into the conspiracy of college basketball perspective, I'd say like be ready to hate Ohio State when they're sitting there with like 20 and 12 or whatever without having beaten one good team.
Yeah.
It's
everybody versus you. Old school, little yeah. People look like we have to do double the work to get into the tournament. It's kind of messed up. But
And what could possibly be an opportunity in the position that they have to do double the work now to make?
I don't think it's necessarily New Orleans. I think that's so irrelevant.
They could be ranked. I'm being serious.
I know their resume. If you take out New Orleans, is unbelievable. Like, they have the best, and the only other loss is overtime, which again is a bad loss to Notre Dame, but not like horrible. That's I don't know. It's interesting. They're in a fun spot. But I'm just saying, like, as we go on with this season, like, it's going to be fun because we're in a similar position to where bubble's going to be crazy. We're both literally right where the bubble would be. Around that 40-50 in most.
We're 44. I think you're 47 in the net. And then Ken Pom, it's like right around the same. Are you guys ahead of us, Ken Pom, or?
No. Ken Pom's our worst. Whatever. Ranking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be, you know what would be the best is if we could get Ohio State TCU first four. But like, there's no way. That's too good to be true, no. Right? Yeah, if that happens, Would you go? Come to Dayton?
Of course. If granted the opportunity work wise, but of course I'd try my best.
Fly into Columbus, we can drive over together. That actually be fun.
I'd be stoked.
Yeah, I don't.
And know. Again, like you look at all three teams on the pot. Like we don't want to say it, but like Tennessee,
you can say it now. It's not great. There are no guarantees.
I was just saying, there's a lot to be worried about there. Like, they could they could very well be in, like, one good win is Houston. Their next best win is Louisville, but they didn't have Michael Brown, so I would avoid
that. I just want to say, like, Houston is
they're still not very good, but –
are they?
Kings and Flemings.
Kings and Flemings is a man. But other than him, it's like, dude, that team, I have zero faith in Houston going into the Big 12. I'll say this right now. They're not winning the Big 12 this year. It's not happening.
We'll take.
They're like, all right, what do you want me to put on the line for it? Like, they're not winning the Big 12 this year. If they win the Big 12, I'll, you know. I'll fucking give you $100 or something.
Deal, I'll take that. And I'll take the field.
What if TCU could finish above Houston in conference?
Oh, that's a take.
Yeah, there you go. That's where I'm going with it. Why not?
Why not?
Houston can't beat anyone by double digits. Like, they don't look dominant in any games. It's like the best college basketball team looks dominant in this time of year. It's like, yeah, they're winning, but it's like they're scraping by. It's like UNC is kind of the same way. I'm starting to, like, I don't know. I guess it's, like, not that hot of a take now that they lost to who they lose to. We were just talking about. Yeah, SMU. But I don't know, Nick. Where you? What's your general feelings about this college basketball season? What are you looking forward to for the rest of the year? Just give me your overall feelings, joys, sadnesses.
I think it's been fun. I think it's unique because the freshman class has kind of paved a different path than what we've seen and what the consensus has been of, like, getting old and transfers and all that kind of stuff. It's, I don't know, it's been against the grain in a way that, like, nobody thought would be against the grain. Like, you thought you'd never go back to this, and I don't think it will be. I think this is just, like, a one-off freshman class. But the backlash to the pro stuff is going to be interesting. And then, yeah, it's
talking about that. You were in the building for James Nnaji debut.
Yeah, and he lost. He was hated. It's TCU Baylor, so it's like a rivalry game, but he was booed every chance he got, and that post-game presser was interesting because both coaches were asked a ton about, obviously, that situation, and it's just, yeah, it's just Scott Drew's getting fired up of how, you know, he didn't break the rules and all that kind of stuff, which is true, but it's just going to be interesting to see where the sport's going to go.
Did you think what Dixon had to say was a bit of a shot at the TCU brass?
Yeah, but that's a known thing. That's honestly a reason why I'm so, I mean, I love college basketball and everything, and it's obviously my school, but, like, even more so, like, he doesn't get money at all. So it's not, like, a secret. Like, it's, I don't know, it wasn't, like, breaking news where he's like, yeah, we just don't have the money to be able to do that, but power to them that they do and they're invested into it. Because, you know, obviously football is the driver, and not to get too much TCU talk, but, like, the emergence of the women's team, which has been awesome, I love, and they're well deserving of it. But, like, they're getting a chunk of money too that's probably equal to or greater than the men's team, which is insane when you think about it.
You're probably one of the only schools in the country that's giving more to the women's team than the men's team.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's what's happening, which is,
yeah, it's probably around. It's closer to equal than obviously most teams, like LSU, maybe South Carolina. But, like, yeah, there's only a few schools. But, yeah, so that's why I think, like, from a TCU perspective, it's been cool because you've taken freshmen and younger players because you have to, because those are the cheaper guys. And he's been competitive with it. So it's sick seeing, like, a true freshman like Punch and Micah and our two true sophomores, like, be able to be competitive. And, you know, they've exceeded expectations, so it's been fun.
So do you find it frustrating when, like, fans online or, like, TCU fans kind of get on Dixon, like complain about his, like, coaching style or, like, the success that he has when you kind of have this insight as to, like, what is really happening?
Yeah, it's – I mean, different coaches should be held to, like, different – like, a successful season for TCU basketball should not be held to the same standard as a successful season for TCU women's basketball and a successful season for – TCU football, because this is not the priority of the same with, like, Ohio State football and basketball. Obviously, it's just two different realms, but obviously at a smaller scale. So, yeah, it's dope that they're competing. Like, well, what's sick about the Baylor win is that it felt like they were the better team, like, the entire game, and it wasn't, like, a big deal that we beat them. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this big upset, when it's like TCU Baylor in the past has been in, like, Nnaji, you know, you can tell he's an NBA body, but, like, we weren't, like, Xavier Edmonds and Punch outplayed him. It's, I don't know, it's kind of sick.
Stat line, like, 4 points. He
really
didn't do much.
Four fouls. So he's just, like, clumsy. He's one of those, like, super athletic guys that just doesn't know how to, like, use his body. So that led him to foul early, but so he only played 16 minutes.
There is a funny part of the whole thing with him where it's, like, I mean, if he were an NBA player, he'd be in the fucking NBA.
You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah, that's like, what said post-game. That was the exact quote. He was like, a stash guy, too. He's a rights guy.
Yeah. But if the Hornets were watching him at Barcelona and were like, we got to get this guy on our team immediately, he would have been on a flight. Like, it's like, there's a reason that he was available to be entered into college basketball, however you want to feel about the fact that it happened, which I would say I do find it ridiculous that there's mid-season additions. But, like...
Yeah. But it's happened before.
Happened before, and it's like, the fact that he was drafted, that doesn't, like, mean anything to me. Like, how other people are just getting really mad about that. It's like, well, what's the difference between these guys that are, like, coming over after playing 3 years of professional basketball in Europe versus this guy that was a draft in stats? It's kind of like the same thing. So it's like, I don't really care about that. But, I mean, it's a good point on the different, you know, being held to different standards with football, basketball, or whatever sports. And, like, you see it with Ohio State fans. Like, they – and you kind of, like – you are better at this than I am, or you're better at internalizing it than I am. But, like – when like it gets like caught in my head, like it's like when I see all the people on Ohio State basketball Twitter being like, Diebler sucks, like we're terrible, like Ohio State needs to be better, whatever. And then I'm like, but then I take a step back and I'm like, Ohio State has had great runs of basketball, but if you look at the giant poster in the gym that shows all of their tournament appearances, there's 3 to 4 year gaps all through it. So, like, we're not Michigan. We're not Purdue. We're just not. So, it's like, we don't need to look at it that way. We don't need to. Yeah, and it's also like, and then you take a step back and you're like, okay, Diebler has 5 stars committing to Ohio State again. And he has Bruce Thornton, who's legitimately one of the 5 to 10 best players in college basketball, still playing at Ohio State for 4 years. Like, and you just, like, realize it's like, yeah, like, it's a good point. Like, it's you got to judge this shit on a logical, reasonable scale. And you have to keep in mind how the money comes into it now. Because it's like, Diebler is not getting the same money that Ryan Day is getting. It's like, let's not be stupid here. And, like, no, I agree. And it is a little frustrating. It's like, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, fans shouldn't get to be mad because the team hasn't been in the tournament in 3 years. It's like, no, it is bullshit we haven't made the tournament in 3 years. Like, that's also a valid thing to be upset about, but...
Yeah, TCU has only had a 1 year gap, so it's a little more extreme, but yeah.
But it's like, even that, like, TCU, Ohio State, not even to be an asshole, but it's like, Ohio State's here and TCU's here.
Yeah, it's a different level.
TCU has a 1 year gap, and like, because of you, I have all these, I have a bunch of TCU people on my timeline, and like, they are genuinely furious. They are like so mad about Dixon, and I'm like, dude, like, who do you think you are? Like, what do you expect out of TCU basketball that you're not getting? You're not getting to the Final Four. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. And if you do...
We haven't made a Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That's a different level. Plus, also, I think, too, like, why Dixon defended Drew. Like, there's been rumors that they're talking to pros, too. So it's a thing where it's like, if you pulled off the same move, like, you can't be trusting it now.
Yeah. I don't understand why Ohio State's not doing it. It's like, we're supposed to be big bad Ohio State. Like, let's go get a couple guys. Like, and also the craziest part is, didn't Illinois get a Euro guy over the break too?
Yeah, and the thing with Dixon was talking about the post game is like, there's Australians that he got a pit mid season, and like it happens. The fact that the guy was drafted 2 years ago at 31 is like eye opening. Like, I agree that it's fine because he didn't play. But then the worry is the spiral of, like, these G League guys, or not even G League, these two-way guys and guys that have logged NBA minutes. Like, if you've logged NBA minutes, I think that's a little different conversation because, like, you're already played in the league. Like, going backwards is a little nuts. But also with European guys in general, like, their birth certificates are never verified. So, like,
yeah.
The majority of these guys who come over at, like, 18 or whatever who played pro ball, like, how old are they realistically? So,
Well, and it's like, it's also like, but the whole thing of like, it's a slippery slope or like, what's next? Or like, dude, it's fucking over. Like, if you think there's any purity left, which also this idea that college basketball or college sports in general is this, was the last pure thing. It's like, it's the least pure thing and it has been forever. So like, that's so dumb in itself.
Once the tournament comes, I said, then once the tournament comes, though, then it's like tradition again. Like, everything sucks. And then once it's like camp week and these upsets happen, last year there was little upsets, but still, like, it's just, I don't know. Still, that part is awesome. Where it's like, I think the college football playoff is like, I don't know, the tradition there and the bowls and stuff are kind of fading. But, like, the tournament's still a tournament. And that's what's, I think, sick about basketball.
Yeah, and I think football and basketball, it's like what really makes it special, and like not to sound cliche or like be like corny or whatever, but it's like it's the fan bases that care so much about this amateur basketball game. Like it's this like flood. It's awesome. It's like St. Mary's had a game on like December 19th or 21st or something like that.
I'm right now in Seattle and they're looking.
Seattle's pretty good. But in like there, it was winter break. Nikki, we went to a game, St. Mary's winter break, when we were like 14 or whatever, and I played Utah State.
Winter whiteout.
Winter whiteout. It's like you're not gonna stop these teams from caring. You're not gonna stop these fans from caring. It's like no real fan is gonna be like, oh, now I'm out. Like it's like no, you knew you're in. It's a fucked up. It's college sports. It's the dirtiest. Like. It's all dirt. Yeah. Like, let's kind of pretend like this is new. Yeah, exactly.
Do whatever you can, get the team out there and let's ride with the Like, there's no cat. Like, that's what the pro sports are missing is the
it's like
dumb
European football. European soccer is the same way, where it's just like, it's like there's rules, but there's no rules. Like, it's all chaos. So it's like, if you're a fan, you should just embrace the fact that there's no rules. And just hope that your team starts cheating too. Because as an Ohio State football fan, it's awesome. Like, I don't know, like, you're better off just getting on that wavelength and being like, but it's also I mean, if the other team's cheating, then you gotta get mad about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
When your rival. That's why it's awesome. Yeah.
But then if you know they're cheating and you switch up your signals and then you beat them in a playoff game, then you can, like, outsmart them then.
Exactly.
That's why there's the innuendos and the storylines are crazy. But hopefully TCU can Tuesday. The Darren Peterson thing.
Big game on Saturday.
Arizona? I know.
Yeah. Is that at?
It's in the show. It's sold out.
We gotta pack the show for that one.
And the students are gonna be back.
Oh shit!
Could we be can storm? Oh, we'd storm. We storm every game. We storm every game.
I'm wondering if I might get to be a part of a storm on tomorrow.
Oh yeah, Nebraska's gonna. Would that be like soft though? Because it's like Nebraska.
Dude, they just beat Michigan State. Shut up. We just talked about how it's Ohio State basketball, okay? It's like
I support all the forms, but I could see the Avenue being like, this team has literally never won an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah. But they beat Michigan State, you know. I mean, like.
But yeah, no, they're undefeated.
They're top 15. Like, they're top, they're really top 10 in this next poll.
Yeah.
They're not, but that's a whole different conversation. Because I got some opinions about them.
They're one of those teams where it's like they've passed every test, so you have to say they're not a fraud, but in the back of your mind, you know they're a fraud. And then when they, it's like the Colts or like, you know, like Indiana last year, where it's like.
Well, it's like Houston, like the Rockets being the number two seed in the West last year, and you were like, this isn't right, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're there. Like,
yeah. You can't prove that they're not yet, but you know that they're. Like,
Nebraska,
Illinois. And like 1-8, like that's a really tough place to play, and that's a really good win. And they beat, you know, a really, really good Michigan State team.
Yeah.
Which, again, probably not that great, but like.
Yeah, right. That game was fucking.
You stepped on an asshole. Yeah.
That was one of the most absurd college basketball games I've ever seen. It was just like. Michigan State, I think, at one point turned the ball over on like 9 straight possessions or something like that. It was just like.
And they couldn't make the free throw. Like that play.
No one won. Oh yeah, Kohler missed his free throw, and yeah. he fucked up the intentional miss too.
Yeah. Well, that crowd was insane.
Yo, the crowd was awesome. The crowd was so awesome. I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, all Ohio State has to do is cut off the top deck from their stadium. The games would be so much more fun. It's like that that is a good point. That Nebraska fan base is so sick.
Yeah.
Like, and they're cutting to the crowd, and it's like six. You got like a 60-year-old and like a 40-year-old and like a 13-year-old, and like it was just like the most like tennis or Nebraska shit. Like, yeah, it was awesome. Go Big Red.
They pack like volleyball too, and like because their volleyball teams, like whatever sport's good, like they're gonna pack.
Well, yeah, I mean, what it's fucking Nebraska. It's like that's all they got.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. We've been going for long enough. We can get the hell out of here.
All right. Good pod. Hopefully we got some big games coming up.
Yeah. We'll talk again Wednesday night if you're available.
Of course.
We'll do another drop on Thursday. We'll talk either way. We're getting on a schedule. It's Monday, Thursday, every week. That's how I'm doing it. And I'm going to start posting clips every day. That's my one of my New Year's resolutions. One clip a day.
And just I'll update like you in my
running. Air.
Yeah, exactly.
Start posting the running. Appreciate everyone who's still listening. The mid-range CBB on everything. Weiss, Jacob 04, Nikki, Jeremonte, Nikki on Twitter.
Cool.
All right. Adios.